The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is an encore episode of the Read to Lead podcast.
Hi, this is Ray Edwards from rayedwardspodcast.com, and there are only a few must-listen podcasts on my list, and this is one of them. It's Jeff Brown and the Read to Lead podcast.
Can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and have said, Pat, I just loved the wedding video you shared of you and your wife. That was a really cool dance she choreographed. That has absolutely nothing to do with my business and my niche, but it has everything to do with building that relationship and the trust with your audience.
Welcome to the Read to Lead podcast with Jeff Brown. Jeff believes that if you desire to achieve true success in business and in life, then consistent and intentional reading is a must. The Read to Lead podcast will not only help you narrow this ever-important reading list, but also bring you key insights and valuable feedback from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. And now, here's Jeff.
Welcome to the Read to Lead podcast. If one of your passions is reading like it is mine, then you've come to the right place. My goal is to help you develop a more intentional and consistent reading habit, in part because I believe that reading is essential to your success. Now, each week we sit down with another successful and inspiring nonfiction author, and we talk about not only their latest book, but also their thoughts on leadership, personal development, career, business, entrepreneurship, and a whole lot more. This episode features a conversation with Pat Flynn from the Smart Passive Income blog and author of the recent book, Let Go. But first, I want to take a few seconds to recognize our sponsor, and that is Audible.com. You obviously enjoy listening to podcasts and would probably also enjoy listening to the occasional audiobook, too. And I've got the perfect deal for you, courtesy of Audible.com. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial and download your first book for free today. Just go to readtoleadpodcast.com/audible. That's readtoleadpodcast.com/audible. Pat Flynn is a hugely successful blogger. Blogging at smartpassiveincome.com, he hosts what is often the highest rated business podcast in iTunes, the weekly Smart Passive Income podcast, and earlier this year added published author to his list of accomplishments with the book Let Go. It is my pleasure to welcome Pat Flynn to the Read to Lead podcast. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, thank you for having me, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first, just on a personal note, I love how your personality and goofiness comes through in your podcast. People really seem to appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's I love the podcast because it just allows me to be myself, and I'm kind of a goofy person once you get to know me, and you know, it's nice because I'm not actually speaking to anybody. I'm just speaking to a mic, so I just feel like I can be myself, and you know, people seem to resonate with that, which is great. I mean, one of the things I do, as you know, is in the first 20 seconds I have my voiceover movie voice guy share an interesting tidbit about myself, and they're typically very random, and I have a lot of people come up to me at conferences and say, like, dude, I'm afraid of spiders too, or oh, I was in the marching band also, or I had a crush on Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell too. Just, you know, a lot of random things. Yeah. And when I first did that, people were like, you are an idiot for doing that, and you know, spending all that money with a voiceover guy for doing that. But a lot of them have come around to say that is a genius thing to do. So
Very David Letterman-esque of you, I think. Well, initially when preparing for this, I sort of felt like I needed to, you know, make sure that, you know, since you've done so many interviews, you've got your own podcast, that we needed to cover material that's never been covered before, ask you questions that have never been asked of Pat Flynn. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I needed to stay true to my show's mission and goal, and that likely most people listening to this are just like I was a few months ago, someone who had never heard of Pat Flynn. So if you would, Pat, take a minute or two to share with us your story as it begins about 5-7 years ago to today.
Sure. Back 5 years ago, I mean, maybe even 7 years ago, I graduated college from UC Berkeley with an architecture degree. And that's what I was sort of trained to do. I had spent my whole life doing everything the way I'm supposed to do, from high school, getting great grades, to doing all the extracurriculars, to even when I had the job that I got out of college in architecture, to going way above and beyond the call of duty. And I was climbing the corporate ladder there, again, doing everything I was supposed to do, until summer of 2008, I learned that I was going to get laid off. And it was a very, very, very sort of depressing moment. You know, it's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe, you know, even the words coming out of my boss's mouth were, "Pat, you're one of the youngest, brightest guys I know, comma, we have to let you go," which just like, I'm still blown away of the fact that that happened. But I'm very fortunate because, you know, to make a long story short, I actually took a website that I had that I built when I was studying for an exam, when I had my architecture position still, a site that I had spent maybe a year putting content into just to help myself and a couple other coworkers pass an exam. And after I passed that exam in early 2008, I just let it sit there. And, you know, I got inspired after I got laid off from other podcasts, actually, that featured success stories of people doing business online, that I decided to take this website that I had and turn it into a business of my own to help other people pass the same exam that I passed just a few months earlier. And it exploded. I mean, in the first month that I you know, opened up the comments and everything like that, people started asking me questions and viewing me as an expert. And people were almost demanding some sort of more convenient way to process the information. So that's when I wrote an ebook that I eventually sold in October of 2008. And that very first month, I had made $7,908.55 by selling a little over 300 copies of that $19.99 ebook. And it was just, it was absolutely life-changing. And the income just started to grow each and every month. And that's when I started the Smart Passive Income blog, which is where most people know me from now, where I sort of just share everything that has happened. You know, ever since the beginning, I've been sharing all the details, all the wins, all the failures, things I wish I would have done better. I've created new businesses publicly on the site and showing people the sort of progression and how that goes, just to really show people of the, you know, what opportunities are available to them out there. Stuff that I didn't know existed until I went through that dramatic moment in my life. And I don't want people to have to go through stuff like that to realize really what's possible. And also, sort of where I'm at now is I've sort of, you know, unintentionally become the sort of leader in this space where, you know, I mean, just because of who I am and the way I think things should be done, I'm, you know, I'm very honest and authentic about everything. And unfortunately, well, fortunately for me, but unfortunately, that's a way of standing out in the niche I'm in. You know, it's drives me nuts that being authentic and honest is standing out. Like, it shouldn't be like that. But, you know, as a result, sort of my site and everything I do has been sort of pushed up to the top, which has been great. And so I know I'm in this leadership position, and I know a lot of people follow my example. And so I do my best to try and provide as much information, free information as I can to my audience to help inspire and help them get things going for them too.
Making money online for so long was kind of in that late night infomercial camp.
Oh gosh, it was terrible.
And you kind of came in and disrupted that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all came from when I took my exam site online. Because, I mean, initially I thought that the way business was done online was through this very scammy car salesman type of marketing sort of world. But when I had a business and I was providing value to people through an ebook and then later practice exams, and I was getting thanked for it and getting paid for it, that showed me that there was a way to sort of legitimately do business online in a way where everybody can win. And so I really took that to heart when I started succeeding. And that's sort of what I teach. You know, there are ways to legitimately make money in a way where everybody's happy.
People like John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire and myself, we have sort of begun laying the foundation of a platform with a podcast. You, however, started your blog, of course, and have added the podcasting dynamic. How has that dynamic altered with a podcast added to it?
Sure. Well, the blog started in October of 2008. The podcast started in July of 2010, and I only wish I started sooner because it has changed everything. It has blown me away. I mean, I knew a podcast was a great way to develop a relationship with your audience and also get them to take action. It was a podcast that got me to take action and discover this world of online business. So I always knew it was powerful in that regard, but I had no idea that after I started my podcast, I would have this much of an impact on people's lives and also be able to reach more people as a result. And You know, I did a survey a couple of years ago on my blog, not my podcast or not my YouTube channel, just on my blog, asking people, how did you first discover Smart Passive Income? Or when did you first hear about where did you first hear about Paplin? And I gave them all the options. The number one way that people have discovered my brand was through my podcast. And it was incredible. I think 19% of people, one out of every five people, found me through iTunes. Number two was actually through YouTube. And then number three, 15% was links through other sites. So that's over 52. That's 52%. You know, people discovering me outside of my own site, and the top one being the podcast. But even more than just the reach, it's allowed me to create these really deep connections with my audience. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, people are listening in the car, or at the gym, or on a walk, or whatever, and they're listening for a very long time. I mean, when you think about a blog post, people spend, you know, 3 to 10 minutes reading a blog post. Tweets and Facebook posts, much, much shorter, obviously. And then even videos, you know, people's attention spans are up to 5 minutes. And then after that, you know, they're browsing somewhere else. But a podcast, people are listening for over an hour sometimes. And they're engaged. And it's because of the fact and sort of the way the technology works, people can take the podcast with them wherever. And you know, as a content provider, you're actually sort of injecting yourself into people's everyday regular lives. I mean, you become a part of their life. And I've heard it time and time again where people come up to me at conferences and stuff and they say, you know, Pat, I feel like I know you. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's why, I mean, you said you noticed the sort of a number of podcasts that I've had so far. It wasn't regular at first. I was doing every 2 weeks gotcha. At first. Okay. It was only when I discovered this year, actually, how much of an impact the podcast has made, because everybody came up to me and was talking about the podcast before anything, that I decided to switch to weekly. And then a couple times during the year, my server went down, so I haven't been able to keep up. But I've been you know, I'm set on weekly, and even just switching to weekly has made a big impact. I actually just today passed 4 million downloads in iTunes. Wow.
Well, when you sent out that survey and you got the responses you got, were you surprised by them, or was part of the survey kind of just to validate what you already thought?
It was to validate that, you know, podcasting and YouTube and things outside of the blog were up there. But it blew me away when I saw that podcasting was number one, definitely.
Well, Pat, what advice would you give to someone desiring to develop a personal brand and begin the process of presenting themselves as a thought leader in their space like you have?
Well, I think there's a number of things you could do, but I think what it comes down to is sort of discovering what your unique selling proposition is. You know, that sort of thing about you that, you know, makes you stand out from everyone else in that same space that you're in. And, you know, it's a lot of times people have trouble with that. When you really think about it, you know, it's your personal brand. It's you, and nobody else is like you. So there's definitely things about you that you should not take advantage of, but I mean, yeah, use to your advantage and sort of milk, because those are things that are uniquely you. And there are people out there who will connect with you just because of who you are, regardless of, you know, how you present your content. That's just how it is. And so really determining what your strengths are and what differences that you can provide, the things that you can provide that no one else can provide. Another way to think about this is, what's your unfair advantage? What unfair advantage do you have that other people can't bring to the table that you can bring? And definitely make sure you're making sure to highlight those things along the way. And then another thing when it comes to personal branding is just being personable. You know, I whatever niche you're in, you want to inject a little bit of your own personality in there, sort of like we talked about how I do in my podcast, and also just sharing a little bit of stuff about you and who you are and sort of what you value and things like that, because that's what people connect to. And you know, there's obviously a fine line between, you know, sharing a lot and, you know, to connect with your audience and versus, you know, revealing way too much about yourself where it endangers other people around you. But you just want to use common sense when it comes to that. But also, you know, I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and have said, you know, Pat, I just loved the wedding video you shared of you and your wife. That was a really cool dance she choreographed. you know, again, that has absolutely nothing to do with my business and my niche, but it has everything to do with building that relationship and the trust with your audience.
Well, obviously, as entrepreneurs, we're able to be our own boss and set our own hours, even work from home in some cases, but it can be easy to find yourself working, you know, twice as long on your own business as you ever did for an employer, which I've been struggling with doing. And so as an entrepreneur, what are some methods you use or practices you employ, Pat, to try and maintain a work-life balance?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really funny because we're always talking about, you know, when we're working a 9-to-5 and we have that job, we want to break away from it, you know, get rid of the 9-to-5. Then we do that and you find that you're actually working like 9-to-9 or, you know, almost 24 hours a day sometimes. And it was a big struggle for me at first. And at first, you know, when I first started working for myself, it was just my wife and I. And I did a lot of things that I'm not very proud about. Like I would actually be in conversations with my wife and I'd sort of be there in conversation with her mentally. But in the back of my head, I would be thinking about my business. And it got to a point where we had a nice little chat about that. And, you know, it was pointed out to me and I didn't even realize I was doing it. It was unfair. And then there were even points when I realized that when I was working, and this especially happened after I had kids, when I was working that I really wanted to be with my kids and I wasn't focused on the work like I should have been focused on. And so that really led me to the fact that, you know, as much as we want to break away from that 9-to-5, you still need a schedule and you have to stick to it. And that's probably the most important thing to be able to sort of turn your brain off and get into personal mode when you need to be in personal life and to be 100% wherever you are. You know, if you're in work, you're 100% working. If you're not at work and you're with your family, you're 100% with them. It's only fair to them. And so the schedule will help you do that. And for me, my schedule is kind of interesting right now. And for everybody, it's going to be different. And it's sort of based on, you know, for me, it's all based around the kids and my wife. And, you know, you definitely have to communicate with the people around you to create that schedule. And if you're by yourself, if you're a programmer and you're working by yourself from home and you're an entrepreneur, you still need to create hours or else you're going to find yourself overworking yourself. You need to reward yourself sometimes with some time off. And sometimes it's that time off where your brain gets to sort of reset and subconsciously think about the things that you're doing, even while you're sleeping. Sometimes, you know, you actually can make progress on your business when you're sleeping or when you're not, you know, even thinking about it. And so, just giving your brain a rest sometimes is really important. So, having that schedule is really important. But also for me, and this is especially important now that I have kids, is to have an actual physical space where it's work time. And when I'm in this room, everybody else in the house knows that this is daddy and he's in work. But when I'm out of it, I can close the door and I myself can be out of work mode too. So those two things are really important, having a schedule and then having a physical space. So I'm really lucky to have one of the bedrooms in the house I'm in now as my home office. And it's definitely challenging. And there are times when, you know, the lines between work life and personal life are blurred. But these two solutions are the best and that I've come up with to be able to sort of delineate those two things.
Well, let's shift focus a little bit to the book, Let Go, something that you initially published on the Snippet app platform exclusively. And I also know you to be the type of guy, you don't put out a product for the sake of putting out a product or have something to sell. You're very deliberate and intentional about what you do. What prompted you or spurred you to want to release this book and specifically on that narrow, I guess, a platform early on?
Sure. Well, for those of you who don't know, Snippet App is a sort of reading platform or a sort of multimedia reading platform on iOS, so iPhone and iPad, and you know, it's brand new. So it was definitely a risk to sort of publish my first book on this brand new platform. But the reason I did it, I mean, I've always had this book in the back of my head, Let Go. You know, it's called Let Go for a couple of reasons. One, because it's about my story of how I was let go from architecture. But also more than that, it's how I had to let go of what I was sort of conditioned to learn growing up and sort of being on that, quote, right path and sort of letting go of that to discover my own way. And also letting go of the fears that I had along the way as well. But I've always had this story in the back of my mind, and you know, I you know, there were opportunities to write it, but when I had this opportunity and I saw a demo of this brand new platform called Snippet App and saw the multimedia capabilities of it, which I know iBooks had, but it also has social media capabilities as well. So within the book itself, people can view a hashtag conversation and add to that conversation, and they're adding a lot more cool features where people can you know, share certain things or even take pictures while you're reading the book with those devices to share with everybody else. You know, for example, there might be a prompt in a book, and I didn't do this because this feature wasn't available, but they were talking about it. imagine in the middle of a book where you finish the first chapter and it prompts you to take a picture. You just push a button, you take a picture, and you get to see a gallery of all the other people who are reading that book and where they're at. I mean, that's so cool. I mean, it's just the interactions that are available with this platform are endless. And so I got really excited, especially because I knew I was going to be one of the first authors on this platform. I mean, how many people could say that they were the first author on a new platform? I mean, I don't even know who the first author on Amazon was, but that would be a really cool thing to say. So I wanted to be one of the first authors on Snippet App. So I took this opportunity. I wrote the book and I gave it to my editor, Matt Gartlin from winningedits.com, who's amazing. And he was like, oh, so where are you going to publish this book? Is it going to be on Amazon? Is this going to be sort of Create Space or self-publish something? Be like, and then I told him, you know, this is going to be on Snippet App. And he was like, okay, what's that? And so I gave him the sort of demonstration that I was given. And he's like, okay, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. There's so much more we have to do, because video was a huge component of this book for me. And at the end of most of the chapters in the Snippet App, you press a button and it plays a video that relates to that specific chapter. Sometimes they were video sort of interviews of myself on location on, you know, in San Francisco and other spots where certain things happened in my story. But also there are video interviews of my wife and also my dad, which, you know, those are two critical characters in my life who played a major role in sort of where I got to now. You know, and then I launched the book and it did really, really well, became the number one bestseller on this platform by far. But then there were a lot of people who were upset that they, you know, because they had Android devices, they didn't have the iOS device. And so they were like, I can't even read the story. This is unbelievable.
Guilty.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally get it. And that's why we repurposed the book on Amazon. And that was a challenge because, you know, this is multimedia on Snippet App. Amazon is not necessarily multimedia. So we link to the videos at the end. The social media capabilities aren't there, although they're referenced and you can still use the hashtag and things like that. But I think it did really well as far as the shift from Snippet App to Kindle. And it's really interesting. In April when I launched it, within the first day, it launched and got up to the number one small business and entrepreneurship book on Amazon. Not just Kindle book, but all books. And so I'm really, really proud of that.
I really thought that the dedication you wrote in the beginning was very poignant. You talk about how we react to those unplanned moments in life shapes who we become. For someone struggling in their current position or job, or who maybe has just gotten the same news you got, you know, 5 years ago, or that I received a couple months ago, why might embracing the unplanned be one of the smartest things they could ever do?
Well, I mean, it's very cliche to say, but, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, it may not seem like it at that very moment. And, you know, another cliche thing to say is, you know, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how do you react to it. I mean, those are all cliches, but they're for real, you know, and you never know what the universe has planned for you. And sometimes it takes those unexpected moments to really shock you and sort of wake you up to see what else and what opportunities are available. I mean, that's exactly what happened to me. And when you think about, you know, your past and you know, this is for anybody listening out there, a lot of times the coolest moments in your life, that's how I'm going to phrase it, the coolest moments of your life, a lot of times those things are the things that happened unplanned. And so embracing the unplanned and seeing those as opportunities rather than failures or, you know, I swear, like, if you just stick with the plan, life isn't going to be that exciting.
I said to somebody several months ago, 6-8 months ago, as I was contemplating new things and thinking about leaving my job, I said, you know, probably the best thing that could ever happen to me would be to get let go and handed a severance package and be pushed out of the nest and really start what I want to do. And that's exactly what happened. So here we are. Well, you touched on this a moment ago. In the book, you get into how the career path you'd been on prior to being laid off was the one society expected you to be on. It was about fulfilling the expectations of others, in other words, oftentimes. For you, how was it you came to that realization? Was it being laid off that opened your eyes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it took a little bit of time after the initial shock to realize that, and a little bit of you know, minor successes along the way to encourage me to keep going and realizing that, you know, I was destined for a different path. But yeah, it was absolutely fulfilling someone else's you know, just path. You know, that's what we're taught to do from the moment we go to school. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a nice job, work until you're 65 and retire, and then you're done, and then everything's happy. And, you know, more specifically, it was the path that my dad went down. And so I was following his example. And, you know, I've always looked up to my dad, and I wanted to be like him and do things like him. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, he worked at the same job for 40 plus years and then retired. He was able to provide for his family. And I was, you know, very thankful for that. And I wanted to do the same thing. And that's the way I knew how to do it. And it's really funny because after I got let go and I was talking to my dad about potentially going down this other path after I started, you know, investigating internet business and things like that, he offered the suggestion to go back to school. To go back to grad school to get a master's degree and then come back out of it with potentially a better paying job in architecture, one that might not be available to me without having going to graduate school. And the thing about that, it was like, he's always right. He's always been right my entire life. And he was right. I could have done that. But, you know, I was doing everything right already, and I still got kicked out. And so I knew I had to take control. And I realized that, you know, if I fail, if I go through these depressing moments in life again, I want it to be because of something that I didn't do or something that I could have controlled, not something that was in somebody else's hands.
I love the Colin Hightower quote in the book. The true measure of your worth includes all the benefits others have gained from your success. I think one of the reasons people are so drawn to you and what you're doing is that sincere desire we all sense that, deep down, you just want to help people. Why is helping people so important to you? I mean, you're making a decent living, and you would probably continue to, even if you never helped another person. You know what I mean?
I mean, the more people you help, the more rewards will come your way. That's just the business model that I've learned works. You know, there's a saying, I am, and that's an acronym for I affect many. And the more people you can affect, the more of an effect those people will have on you. I mean, there's just, you know, if you help people, people want to help you back. And I've had people come up to me and send me emails and say things like, you know, Pat, you've helped me out so much. Here's my credit card number. Like, when you come out with a product, I'm not even kidding. They here is my credit card number, which is ridiculous. Never send an email with your credit card number. But here's my number. Or they say things like, you know, when you come out with a product, I don't care what it's about. You've already done so much for me. I want to pay you back. And it's just so amazing how much people want to pay back. And that's human nature. You know, when things are done for you, you want to do things back. And, you know, there's a lot of people, salespeople, who take advantage of this sort of part of human nature. Car salesmen, I mean, I'll throw in the leather seats for free, knowing that when you do that, you're going to be more likely to make that purchase. But there are ways to do this legitimately, where if you actually really want to help people, and you actually do, you provide value to them and you make their lives better, your life is going to become better as a result. So that's always been my primary motive now, is to help as many people as possible. And yeah, that's sort of a, you know, you can't really, you know, count the numbers, because there's countless people who, you know, potentially have been helped. And, you know, it's nice to have some sort of meter. And for me, that meter is thank you notes, getting handwritten thank you letters. The more I can get those, if I can get handwritten thank you letters, like in this digital age, if I can get handwritten thank you letters, I know I'm doing something right. And every week I go to my inbox and I get a handful of thank you cards and notes that people have written from all around the world, just saying thanks. And that's what I'm selfish about. I want as many of those as possible. It's because, I mean, I get so fulfilled knowing that what I'm doing is making an impact. But that's a good sort of gauge for me to know that I'm doing it the right way.
If you're like me at all, and I in this way, and I sense that you might be, I'm thinking back to like when you were first selling your lead exam, and as I read in the book, and you know, going out and taking a walk, and coming back and realize another sale had taken place while you were out on a walk.
Yeah,
I've been in sort of a similar situation before, where when that happens, it's like, oh my gosh. What if they don't like it? What if they complain? Did you ever struggle with those kinds of doubts, even once that thing, whatever it was out there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I still go through those doubts. I mean, that's just you know, it's called the resistance. I don't know if you've read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, but that's the resistance, and it always comes into your life right before something amazing is going to happen. And so I've seen, and I've sort of gotten used to. The resistance, and knowing that if that's there, that that's a good sign that you should just keep going with what you're doing and that's something worth doing. Because if that resistance wasn't there and it was sort of welcoming you, that's when you should be scared. That's when maybe you're not doing the thing that you should be doing or you're doing it in the wrong way. So I always look for that now. And, you know, I always, those doubts always come in. And, you know, you kind of just have to be confident in what you can do and provide and know that, you know, maybe if it's not the right thing that you can make shifts and make it better for people who may not appreciate it. And that, you know, I always knew that if people, you know, refunded the book when I first wrote it, that I would go and bend over backwards to make sure they got something to for their troubles. And, you know, out of 14,000 books sold now, one person there's been a couple of refunds, but one person in particular was just not happy with it. And for that person, you know, I definitely obviously gave them the refund and I gave them free consultations and as many things as I could to make them happy. And, you know, they ended up turning around and being like, you know, I just had a bad day. I'm sorry to take it out on you. And you know, that person actually became one of, you know, someone who has helped and promoted my site.
Wow. So it's pretty cool. And that one person, though, sometimes can cancel out 100 positive comments, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've learned to grow thick skin. And, you know, they say, you know, if you're not upsetting somebody, you're not doing things right. And you know, it's not to say that you go and try to upset everybody. But, you know, there's, you know, the more out there you put yourself, the more chances there are of people who may not agree with you or who may think things differently, you know, that they're going to find you. And, you know, I'm at a point now where I have a substantially large audience and there are a number of people out there who just don't agree with how I do things or maybe think I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. And, you know, I know I'm doing it the right way. So I know I have nothing to worry about. And for a lot of times those people, you know, if they're disrespectful of my blog, for example, if they're trolls and they're calling people names or they're using swear words, I block them. Like, I don't need that on my site. It's right. My site. Get off. But if they're respectful, I listen to them and I definitely read every single word that is said. And I'll often get on a Skype chat with those people, which I know most people are like, why do you do that? Like, you just need to ignore that. But, you know, a lot of times those people are just misunderstood or there's some sort of miscommunication between myself and the words that I write and how that person is reading it. So, you know, just last week, I actually had a Skype call with somebody who was like, you're fake and your numbers are all wrong. And, you know, just you prove yourself. So I was like, fine, I will. Let's get on a Skype chat. I'll screen share with you and walk you through all my accounts, my affiliate income and things like that. I didn't show them like bank accounts and things like that. But, you know, all the reports from my affiliate commissions and things. And they were like, wow, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And then he left a comment on the blog later saying, you know what? Pat walked me through his accounts and he was absolutely right. I can't believe it. But I saw it with my own eyes and I apologize. So, you know. That's what's called the Gary Vaynerchuk method.
Yeah.
To haters.
Well, when it comes to helping people, the quote I always go back to is the Zig Ziglar quote from, you know, decades ago. If you help enough other people get what they want, you will get what you want.
Totally.
Well, as your business has grown, and I can imagine how you manage it all, frankly, what's that tool or maybe something you use every day that you absolutely can't live without? It could be a, you know, piece of hardware, software, an app, anything.
Sure. I mean, right now the big thing is Basecamp. I use Basecamp to manage all my different projects, and I've recently been working with a lot of other people who have I call my team members now, who are helping me with sort of managing all the different projects I have, which is nice because it takes a lot of that off my shoulders. But, you know, Basecamp is great. I was even using it before I had a team to organize all the projects, to put down to-do lists of what to do next and sort of prioritize those projects to sort of tell me, even when I can't think straight, you know, what I should be working on next. And that's been really helpful.
Well, Pat, when it comes down to leadership, I define leadership as influence. And obviously, you're a guy who has a lot of influence. What would you say is the single most important leadership lesson that you've ever learned, if you could boil it down to just one thing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's absolutely leading by example. You know, if you really, truly want to lead a group of people, you have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And that's sort of reflected in everything I do, from the monthly income reports that I have, where I'm sharing what I'm doing and what goes right and what goes wrong, even, you know, and talking about how much money I've been making from each of my income sources, to building websites from scratch publicly on the site and showing people what I do right, what I do wrong, so that they can sort of follow my example and lead. And even though it might not be perfect all the time, at least I'm sort of in the front, sort of with the machete, sort of just knocking everything down so everybody behind me can have an easier time. That's sort of how I see it.
Well, name for us, Pat, if you would, a couple of books from the recent past that have made the greatest impression on you and why.
Yeah, well, I love Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. It's just all, you know, great stories about why certain stories and certain things that are said are remembered and why other things aren't. And when it comes to doing business online and having a podcast, and, you know, we definitely need to do what we can to share a message that will not only stick with people, but also be shared and stick to those people, be shared again. And that's sort of how you grow. So Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath, that's sort of an older one that I read and reread from time to time. And then also recently I've been doing a lot of public speaking, and there's a Dale Carnegie book called Stand and Deliver, which has been fantastic for me. So if you're thinking about doing any sort of public speaking, whether it's to a group of 10 people in your office, to a group of 400 people at a conference or more, you know, that book was a great starting point for me to sort of, you know, get over the probably one of the biggest fears I've ever had. And also, you know, doing the podcast helped with getting over that fear and just helping me communicate better as well.
Well, you've tackled so many things that you used to be afraid of. I know doing video was tough at first, public speaking, the podcast, and even despite being in radio for years, public speaking still scares me to death. So someday I'm going to branch out and do that and have that courage that you've had.
I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I'm kind of obsessed with it now, and I have my very happy to share that I have my very first keynote coming up, the opening keynote for this conference, the Financial Blogger Conference. Awesome. In St. Louis this October. So I'm super stoked about that.
Isn't that funny how that works? It goes from being the thing you're most fearful of to being something you just love to do,
right? Like I said, when the resistance kicks in, that's how you know it's something worth doing.
Well, I have a listener question from the website. You can click a button there on the right of the website and leave a voicemail. And today's question comes from Pablo.
Hi, Jeff. It's Pablo from ChefPablos.com, where I share my passion for the foods I learned to love growing up in Pat's hometown of San Diego. Authentic Mexican and Asian cuisine, as well as some of my favorite restaurant recipes. Jeff, I got to tell you, your podcast has quickly become one of my top fives, along with Smart Passive Income. But Jeff, your production value, the content's amazing. The guests, to say they're stellar is an understatement. Pat, I've listened to every single episode of your podcast, and you changed my mindset towards internet marketing. I used to be focused on just making money, self-serving stuff, not worried about the quality of the content. As long as I ranked and they clicked on an ad, I was happy. So thanks to you, I no longer have that mindset. Now I'm focused on serving the people who visit the site, and I feel a deeper passion for what I do because of that. So thank you very much. So here's my question. I struggle with follow through in a big way, and both of you now working for yourselves after being let go. How do you do it? How do you set deadlines that are real and that have a consequence when you're only accountable to yourself? I file April 15th for my taxes, even when they owe me money, because I need that deadline. And I just got to know if there's something that you're doing that makes it painful for not hitting your deadlines. Thank you guys both so much. What you're doing is literally life-changing.
That was a great voicemail, man. Thank you for listening to the show. We definitely got to hang out sometime since you're in San Diego, and Mexican food is my favorite. So, and also Mexican Asian fusion from some of the food trucks here are awesome. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you even said it yourself, you need that deadline and you need it to be real. And I sort of do the same thing, but I don't, you know, they're, you know, for projects and things like that, you know, the government isn't looking at what I'm doing for projects, but I have other people following me. I mean, not just people in my blog. I mean, sharing things on publicly on the blog helps with accountability for sure, but it's mostly the people who are in the mastermind groups that I'm in. So other people who I meet with every week who understand my business and who understand who I am and where I want to go and where I want to be. I share with them sort of my goals every week and my progress. And I appreciate them so much that when I don't meet a deadline, I honestly truly feel bad. And you know, I feel, you know, they feel the same way about when they share their things too. I mean, that's part of what a mastermind group is all about. So I have that looming over me whenever I'm working on a project and I sort of announce something to them about what I want to do and I try to get it done. I don't do this particular strategy, but there is a website out there. I can't remember the name of it, but Derek Halpern from socialtriggers.com recently has been talking about procrastination. And he said that there's this website out there where you can pledge money, like put money on the line for a task that you want to do. And if you don't get it done in time, it actually goes to a charity that you hate.
That's a great idea.
And yeah, right? I mean, that's such a good idea. And that has motivated a lot of people. I think that's what Derek does. But, you know, putting money on the line or telling a friend about something that you want to do and actually holding you accountable to it and actually giving them money. You know, money is a great form of motivation, obviously, just like taxes and the penalties that happen if you don't give them in on time. So even just a friend or family member just holding that money for you who will take it from you if you don't finish what you need to finish, that helps too. But I mean, just being in the mastermind group has been probably the most important thing for me in wanting to follow through, not just so I don't let those people down. Also, maybe not necessarily putting money on the line, but putting a reward of some kind on the other end of it when I do follow through. And whether that's, you know, going on a small trip or getting, you know, a shaved ice from Wahine Kai or, you know, little things like that. All those things matter. I mean, that's what keeps me motivated to keep going and keep following through. And also probably the biggest thing is, you know, you started whatever it is you started for a reason. And you got to think about who is not going to see it until it's finished and how many people you could potentially be either letting down or who might not benefit from the information you have to share or the product you're trying to create. There's going to be a lot of people out there who aren't going to benefit until you follow through. And sometimes thinking about those people helps me keep going too.
Well, Pat, I feel like we've only scratched the surface, but our time is quickly coming to a close. We'll include, of course, all the relevant links in the show notes page, but before we go, tell us again where we can find you online, where we might be able to find you on Twitter. Any other projects coming up maybe that you'd like others to know about, whatever it might be?
Sure. Well, my, you know, I'm very transparent. My home address is, no, I'm just kidding. my Twitter handle is Pat Flynn, and you can find me at smartpassiveincome.com. You know, I'm always working on new projects, so it's hard to pinpoint one now. But if you go on Smart Passive Income, you'll sort of see what I'm working on. I guess the biggest thing I'm doing now is I'm building another business from scratch, and it's going to serve the food truck owner market. And that's sort of, you know, you'll see the progress. If you go to nichesiteduel.com, you'll see a community of over 4,000 plus other people who are sort of following my lead with this and creating their own sites too. And there's a leaderboard there. There's a forum. It's a lot of fun. But again, Jeff, just thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a blast. And you know, I can't wait to hear from the listeners to see how they liked it or not.
Well, Pat, thank you very much for your time. You have been very gracious and very generous, and we thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, you heard the man. Pat wants to hear from you. Let him know what you thought about today's episode and what Pat had to say by sending him a tweet to @PatFlynn on Twitter. That's PatFlynn, @PatFlynn on Twitter. To comment on this episode, you can go to my blog at readtoleadpodcast.com/007 for episode 7. Just scroll down to the comments section and you can leave your comment, question, or whatever it might be. That's also where you'll find the show notes for today's episode. All the links and resources we discussed can be found there. One more time, that's readtoleadpodcast.com/007. Finally, it would mean a great deal to me if you would rate the podcast. Now, this helps ensure others are going to have a better chance of finding it. It would mean a great deal to me personally. And if you give it a 5-star rating and leave a review, I'll be sure and mention you by name in an upcoming episode as a small way of saying thanks. To rate and review the podcast, just visit readtoleadpodcast.com/iTunes. That's readtoleadpodcast.com/iTunes. Want to say special thanks to our latest 5-star reviewers, Frank Gustafson, also A. Alther, Cheryl Carver at CherylCarver.com, Froymo, gotta love these iTunes usernames, right? Also Steve Smith, Ron at FocusAndGetStarted.com, Paul Vandermill, and finally, Paul Blaze from the Doubt the Doubts podcast. Well, that'll do it for this episode. I'll see you next time on the Read to Lead podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Read to Lead podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Become a vital member of the community. Visit us on the web at readtoleadpodcast.com and chat with other members at facebook.com/readtoleadnation. Until next time, remember, leaders read and readers lead.